The Declaration of Independence set out reasons for the American colonies to sever ties to the British crown, but sovereignty still needed to be won on the battlefield, and the framework for a government remained to be crafted. 12 years would pass until a constitution was ratified by the original colonies, finally leading to the first U.S. presidential election in 1789. Now, so long after the American experience of building a nation, the United States is trying to help build nations. These situations in Iraq and Afghanistan have frequently been compared to the various 20th century events, particularly the occupation of Germany and Japan and the war in Vietnam. With the coincidence of the celebration of American independence today and the American handover of power in Iraq this past week, we asked historian David Hackett Fisher to talk with us about similarities between the situation in Iraq and the challenges faced by the founding fathers of the United States in the 18th century.
The first thing that comes to my mind is the magnitude of the task. Both in Iraq, Afghanistan, and in America in 1776. And we get very impatient with the news from Iraq, and the war's only been on for a year, but we forget how long it took us, as you said at the outset, 12 years or more before we were able to put a republic together. We also forget how very difficult it was for us. It was a civil war as in America as it is it in Iraq and Afghanistan, and I think we forget that we couldn't do it alone. Most historians think we couldn't have made a go of it without the intervention of a great power. For us, it was France and other European states.
So patience is a lesson that should be learned from what's going on in Iraq in the comparison. What are some of the other lessons, do you
think? Well, it's interesting to see how the French and the Americans dealt with one another after 1777. When the French army arrived and the soldiers kept journals that sound in many ways very much like some of the reports that we're getting from Iraq. And they were first conscious of a deep cultural difference and wrote of New England as a place that was inhabited by religious fanatics. They found that they were not welcomed by the Americans with open arms. The Protestant families of New England tried to keep their daughters locked up and away from the French troops. And then other Americans thought that the French should pay for the privilege of liberating them, so that when the French army went into Rhode Island and they were wanted to take over some buildings at Brown University, they were allowed to do that. But then the college administrators sent the French army a bill, which the French thought was a bit much, but they did pay it. And I think we're having some of those same strains as well.
One hears about the different groups in Iraq, that the Sunnis, the Shiites, the Kurds. America in the 18th century also had a lot of disparate populations. You had indigenous populations, you had merchants, you had traders, you had planters, immigrants, slaves, of course. And of course, the cause of independence from the British crown was something that unified at least the white population. What was it that held America together once independence was achieved?
Well, first there was the memory of a common enemy, but then I think a common purpose to build a free republic, which I think many people in Iraq and Afghanistan also share. Also, it's interesting that Americans from the start, I think, had a sense that they had to go their own way, a way different from European systems. And the Europeans were very restless with all of that. Even the French who were supporting us, Louis XVI, ordered a chamber pot with a picture of Benjamin Franklin in the center of the bottom, which was his way of passing a judgment on the American system. But the Americans began to work out from their own experience different systems of representative republican government that Europeans found alien. It's interesting to see that we have the same trouble understanding what Iraqis and Afghans are trying to do. Just a few days ago, when the arraignment of Saddam Hussein was watched by many millions of Americans, there was an instant rush to judgment about a legal system that was very different from ours. And yet there is a system of Islamic law that is deeply rooted in Iraq, and which the Iraqis are determined to work within. We have to learn some patience about that, I think, as we wanted the Europeans to learn to be more forbearing about what we were doing. I think it's also interesting that the Americans, many of them, believed that their republic should have a religious foundation, not all of them. They divided deeply on that, as the Iraqis did, and they struggled over it in the on the First Amendment and the wording of the First Amendment, that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion and or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, was designed to protect established churches in at least three American states. And a religious foundation was thought by a good many Americans to be fundamental to a Republican order. And we can see that the Iraqis and the Afghans are determined to build an Islamic republic.
When the differences were being worked out by the colonies and trying to present this unified front, did it get down and dirty? I mean, when one looks at politics in Congress now, it certainly does.
It was very dirty, not only during the revolution, but the worst of it came after the peace of 1783. It was a time that historians call the critical period of American history, and it was a crisis of order, a crisis of violence throughout much of America. There were lots of weapons in American hands. There was a collapse of the economy. And the result was incessant violence in all of the American states, mostly over the rivalries, the old scores being settled, Tories being lynched, problems of race and slavery in many parts of the country. We've sanitized that history. We've forgotten about much of the trouble that we had to work our way through so painfully.
I understand you were in Poland in 1989.
Yes.
Which was a pivotal year for that country. Did you see similarities in the way?
It was a special moment for Poland. We were invited there to observe the first free elections in Poland. And we met with some of the leaders of Solidarity. And I had the feeling that I was speaking with men and women in Poland who were very similar to our founders in their breadth of purpose and their long view of things, and how different it seemed to me from many people in public life in America today who are consumed with the process of gaining power rather than with the application of it to very large purposes. And I think we have as much to learn from these leaders in new republics around the world as they do from us, probably more. And in the learning, they can also maybe take us back to some of our founding purposes when the republic was young.
David Hackett Fisher is university professor and Warren Professor of History at Brandeis University. He's the author of many books and articles on the American Revolution. His most recent book, Washington's Crossing, was published earlier this year by Oxford University Press. He joined us from the studios of WBUR in Boston. David, thank you very much.
Thanks, Leanne, and happy 4th of July.